How to Be Happy podcast episode number 25.
Welcome to the How to Be Happy podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your hearts and your minds and get ready to be honest, be loved, and be happy.
Well, welcome to the How to Be Happy podcast, episode number 25. I'm Jared Akers.
Good morning.
You know what?
Jared Akers.
You're absolutely right. In the opening thing, I do say loved. You know, I thought it was be love. I think I kind of like the idea of be love, you know, like we talked about last week. Be the essence of love. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all want to be loved, but you also want to be loved so that you exude love. Love. So I've been playing around with some equipment. I'm trying to get, I got this, I had this 60 Owen, I don't know. I had some hum issues going on in our, so I purchased some stuff. I got to take it back. That wasn't it. So now we got a little bit of static in the background, but I take it out in post in my editing software. And I'd like to have it so I don't have to do that. But anyway,
Keep trying.
So let's see. We got a new bed.
Yeah. This bed is amazing.
What do you think of it so far?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
I know I like sitting in it and reading. It's an adjustable bed.
Yeah. So we got the split king. Adjustable base with the memory foam, all these different types of latex memory foam mattress.
It's very comfortable.
Yeah,
We replaced a super comfortable bed, but it had just gotten too soft, I think.
Yeah, we replaced a bed that you'd had before I even met you. It's a Pillow Top something Foster's.
Stearns and Foster's.
It was a pretty good mattress, had a Pillow Top, and then we had another two-inch memory foam thing on the top of it.
It was more than 2 inch. I think it's a 4 inch.
Well, no, 4 inches is, no, it was 2 inches, but it seemed like, I mean, it was
pretty thick.
It was pretty thick. And so the bed was pretty cushy, but we both have been kind of having some back stuff. And so we got this bed and the bed. Oh, by the way, the topic today is going to be, and then we'll get back to the bed thing real quick, is how do you determine you are in a healthy relationship? So,
we can use the bed story for that, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, the bed is great.
So we went to the bed store, and, of course, I think we're the only customers there at the time. And the manager hones in and, you know, starts his spiel, and I'm immediately, like, totally turned off. I'm like, we just want to look around. We kind of don't want you around. I didn't say that, but I thought it. So, I don't think he ever did go away, but, and then they had this chiropractor that was there adjusting people, not really adjusting, really. It's just a light massage is what he gave me, but of course he's trying to get business. And
we talked about this.
So he's loosening me up, right? For the big sale. And you're over talking to the salesman and giving him our life history or our bed history. And anyway, by the time I come over, he pretty much knows the deal.
Right.
And so we're looking at several beds and we end up on one that we're laying on and he's adjusting it and doing this vibrator thing. And I'm thinking,
massage.
Yeah, right. And so then I go down and look at the prices. We're talking like $8,000, $10,000. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
No way. I'm not spending that much. I would never, who in their right mind would spend that much money on a bed?
But there's a lot of justification. Oh, well, you're going to have it. You know, you spend a 30 of life in bed.
25-year warranty.
Yeah. And I mean, I had in my mind how much I wanted to spend or could spend, and it wasn't near that. I mean, it wasn't cheap by any means, but it wasn't near that. It was below half of that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I would say on this deal, I didn't want. I went into this thinking there's no way we're spending more money.
Yeah.
No way.
Because we decided that we needed to pay off some stuff so we can start traveling again because we had a lot of expenses this last year with a, you know, furnace and pool house, and a lot of things. So, we wanted to wait till we paid off that stuff before we, so we travel again. But anyway, we're getting there. I'm being diligent about, you know, budgeting and stuff and getting that stuff paid off. But so the bed turned out, you know, we got it delivered yesterday. And when she first sat on it, she's like, oh my God, this is not going to work. Cause it was hard as a rock. Cause it's like memory foam.
Oh yeah. I mean, literally.
It was cold. So it was outside, I think.
I felt like I was in Mexico.
Stored outside.
On that first bed I ever laid on in Mexico was like, might as well have been a brick with a little pad on it.
Yeah.
You know? Ugh.
So our first night last night.
What have I done?
It was pretty good.
But then we heated it up with the electric blanket and turned the heat up. And by the time we got in bed, it was really very comfortable.
Yeah. And you
can. It's totally different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to having lots of pillows and having to kind of make my own
little cocoon.
Yeah. And I did end up doing that again.
Well, and the whole,
for at least half the night.
We worried about because we got two split kings, so there's two different sides. And so we were worried about the crack in the middle, you know, and like,
I walk in and the guys that are delivering, I'm sorry, I just interrupted you.
When you interrupt me, I feel,
how do you feel?
Disrespected. Okay. No, unimportant. And I,
wow. Well, that's long. I'm sorry.
I don't know. That's a little aggressive. I don't really feel that way. I still love you, but okay. So the guys walked in and.
Yeah, I walk in and I say, oh my gosh, this is unacceptable.
Yeah. There's,
and I thought, who do you think you are? This poor guy's just delivering the bed.
And you're like, this is unacceptable. This is just not, because the guy at the store told us there would not be a crack that wide in the middle because you got two twins, right? Or two twin
XLs. He said that they would fit right up against each other and you wouldn't even feel it. Wouldn't even know it was there.
Well, you won't fall through it, but there is a crack there. But,
clearly, there's a crack.
Yeah. But once you get the, you know, when you're all snuggled up and it's memory foam, you know, we still, you know, we were concerned that wouldn't be able to like spoon and cuddle and stuff, you know, like that. And not to mention anything else, but
yeah,
so we'll still,
it's going to be a challenge,
but it's nice that I can do what I want to do on my side. I can
be up in the
reading position and she knew that I'm a fiddler. So I would be playing with the remote all the time. And she'd be like, even when we watch TV, you're like, would you just quit it? Stop it. You're like driving me crazy. I'm like, well, I want to see that commercial. You're like, just quit it. And I can't stand it when you have the remote because I get my control.
I
know.
Now you know why I go and do something else.
So how do you know if you're in a good relationship?
I think that's a good example. You know, you're going to frustrate each other. For sure.
For sure.
How are you going to let it? Are you going to let it build some resentment?
Would you rather be happy or right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd rather be happy.
I'd rather be happy. Absolutely.
So neither one of us are ever right.
It doesn't mean I don't ever feel like snippy or want to, you know, bite your head off. But then if I think about it, then I start to feeling bad about even thinking about it, you know?
Bad thinking about, being snippy.
Biting your head off.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So then I'll come back later and say, hey, I'm sorry I was snippy. And I'm going to, you know, this is going to take some adjusting. And I'm going to get there.
Yeah. What is the bed?
Yeah, the bed. Oh. TV, the whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Well, you were a hard sell on the split king, but I knew that the split down the middle probably wouldn't matter that much, you know, because we all, you know, we cuddle a little bit, but then we always go, okay, go our separate ways. Let's get we're serious about sleeping, and it's like, you know. But
yeah,
I had a good night's
sleep. The cuddle thing kind of ends up, you end up stuck together at some point and have to peel off, and it's kind of hard to do that when you're half asleep. And yeah,
I did. I slept in the zero G position last night for most of the night. It was pretty good.
I do remember you saying, where are you at? I said, I had to lower my head. So then I hear, he's lowering his head. So then I feel over, he's like an inch lower than me. Well, I'm staying here because my God, I'm going to be in a tire.
I'm staying in this. Where are you at?
I'm taking one
right
for
here.
The team here.
I'm right here.
This bed is hysterical.
Yeah, where are you going? I'm going up here.
But I think we have a lot of fun with each other. Yeah. And that's the sign of a good relationship.
Yeah.
You know, being able to laugh off the.
That is funny. Where are you going? Where are you at? Okay. And I woke up in the same position, you know, in that same position on my back and comfortable. And then this morning after you left, I flattened it all out and did the whole kind of layout Saturday, you know, Sunday morning kind of thing, you know, and it was good.
Well, I think the mattress is firm enough to support your, you know, it's not, like you said, you're not going to fall in because it can't separate itself to the sides.
Yeah,
because
it's
down in our bed.
Yeah.
It's like a sleigh bed. So it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Like that memory foam two stuff. So it's like once you're there on the crack, it conforms to your body. I'm overanalyzing it. I know. But so.
That's what I love about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I overanalyze stuff.
Yes. So, no, I love that about, I love your analyzations. Analyzations.
beep. So I didn't beep out that part last week.
I wonder if that'll make the...
Flubbed up your name. I wonder if anybody listened to the very end of last week's podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
I forgot that the recording was still on, and we were talking, and you're like, ooh, I think that's our best one yet. And I'm like, really? You think so? And then you're like, well, except for the part where, you know...
Yeah.
But if you listen to episode 24 at the very end, I didn't stop recording, and we just were talking, and then I was like, oh, beep. I forgot I was recording.
Yeah, and he did bleep that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, okay. I thought it was cute that you messed up your own name. I thought it was endearing.
Aww.
That's just because it sounds good since I didn't take
exactly.
it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you determine if you're in a healthy relationship? I got a whole bullet list of things here. We can go through these. And okay, here's the first one. Partners have appropriate boundaries physically and emotionally.
Well, what we do now because we got a split king.
Personal space is respected.
Well, there you go.
As is alone time and relationships with important others.
Well, say that again.
So partners have appropriate boundaries physically and emotionally. Personal space is respected, as is alone time and relationship with relationship with important others.
Okay.
So what do you think about that? So
I agree.
We have boundaries physically. Do you ever feel like...
Yes, we do.
Because even though you're my
remote,
wife and I love
yours.
You close, sometimes...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Need space.
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, it's a man cave thing.
Well, not so much
that. I feel
that
way too, though.
You know, but you respect, you know, my relationships with other people in my life. Like when I was... doing some service work, we'll say, and I was spending time with these other guys, kind of helping them out and kind of doing some life coaching type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, that can really take a lot of my time. And, you know, you were, and I've known in similar instances,
I think you got too good of a night of sleep.
Yeah, I know.
So relaxed.
I'm kind of giddy. Maybe it was that hot tub.
Yeah.
I'm loose as a goose. So. Yeah. Anyway, you respected that, you know, and it's like you're not threatened by me spending time with others.
I think it's one of the things that I love most about you is the way you give to others.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep.
I want to talk about the dream you had at some point, too.
Oh, my.
Partners are not excessively jealous. If partners don't trust or frequently check on the other's whereabouts, consider that you are not in a healthy... Wait. Partners are not excessively jealous. If partners don't trust or frequently check on the other's whereabouts, consider that you are not in a healthy dating relationship. Excessive jealousy and possessiveness can be a precursor to violence in relationships.
Hmm.
That statement kind of confuses me.
Hmm.
It says partners are not excessively jealous, but then it says if partners don't trust... Oh, okay. All right, yeah. So if partners don't trust or are frequently checking where you at, you know, all the time, they consider that you are not in a healthy dating relationship.
No. Well, if you're having to do that, there's obviously a lack of trust or there's some insecurities that need to be addressed.
Yeah, if you're constantly...
And you're going to have that. You're going to have those times when you have insecurities. So what do you think is the best thing to do when you have those insecurities?
Well, obviously... Talk about it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, because that's difficult.
Slippery slope.
Well, it is, because there's two kind of pieces to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of insecurity with yourself, and there's also trust with the other person. So if you can't trust the other person, you can have all the sincerity or all the self-awareness and self-esteem and like you do, for instance, and, that's for a healthy relationship, but still, that doesn't mean that...
Doesn't mean I don't have baggage.
Well, yeah, but that it doesn't mean that the other person then has the right to walk all over you, if that makes sense.
Right. Right.
You got to trust somebody. But if they're, well, basically the main point of this one is if someone's excessively jealous and possessive, then it's a precursor for a violent relationship is what it says.
Hmm.
And I'd definitely watch out for that. And it can be kind of, you know, can it be kind of attractive at the beginning if a guy's really, have you ever thought it was attractive when a guy, or have you ever been with a guy that was possessive or jealous?
Yes. And it didn't go past the first date.
Really?
Yeah. It's a huge turnoff for me.
I have never been the jealous type. Because I think there's two parts to that. I think the first part was because I never really thought that anybody would want to be with me anyway. So I never really got jealous. And, secondly, I've always never really, going back in early relationships, I never really felt like I was good enough. So I always kind of knew that if they really got to know me, they probably wouldn't want to be with me anyway. So I didn't really get jealous because I just didn't feel like that, you know, I deserved that anyway. And then after that, because I never really thought, I didn't really trust women, I guess, because I always felt like they just wanted marriage and the idea of a family and relationship and all that stuff that a woman's supposed to do, supposedly in society, whatever. I don't know if that sounds sexist, but, and that they never really wanted me for me.
What do you think I want you for?
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't get jealous really because I know that I want someone that sincerely wants that unique part of Jared that's that soul and that, and that if they don't want that, I don't want them.
Yeah. Well, and I think you want to be with someone that is attractive to others. That's like a huge compliment to me.
Yeah.
Other people may want you, but you've decided to be with me.
Exactly.
So it's a compliment to me.
Right on. Okay, the next one is partners manage negative emotions appropriately. So negative emotions would be anger, I'm assuming anger, jealousy,
irritation, resentments,
negative emotions. Appropriately by not holding them in, probably.
Yeah.
And then exploding.
Yeah, you either need to talk about it with each other or with a friend. Kind of get to express it with somebody.
Express yourself.
Yeah. Those things that you talk to your girlfriends about and things you talk to your spouse or boyfriend or significant other about.
How about this? Partners manage negative emotions appropriately. I would add something that you taught me was managing those negative emotions with your partner and not with people that aren't in your relationship.
Right.
To the extent, I guess.
Right.
I mean,
it's true.
Like you had said.
Right. But then you also, you know, girls tend to think things to death. Men.
Really?
Men tend to be more simplistic or, you know, it's a proven fact that our brains are like firing on like 20 different little places at once.
Yeah.
You know, we go through a long process to get to the end of a thought process. And so if you can bounce that off a girlfriend, she's going to totally understand where you are at and what, you know, it's like, then you're going to be allowed to do that. But many times when you express yourself with a man, he's already at the end of the problem and you're still wanting to, you know, revel around in the middle of it.
Work through it. Yeah.
So I think it, you know, a trusted friend that, you know, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as you know about that, you know, and you're remaining true to the relationship. For example, if I was talking with a girlfriend about you and bashing you and saying bad things about you, that's not going to be healthy for us. But why would I want to portray you in that light?
Right.
What does that say about me?
Like you had said before, you're going to make up with me. They're not.
Yeah.
So they're going to still have that negative perspective of me.
Right. But I think, your relationship has to, if you're going to have the level of trust and security in the relationship, you have to know that you're going to keep your problems within the relationship.
Yeah.
And work through them together.
Unless, of course, you need outside counsel in the form of arbitrator.
Yeah.
Or something. Okay, right. The next one is partners take responsibility for their own actions, understanding that the quality of the relationship is up to him or her and will not blame the other for misunderstandings.
Yeah.
Concur?
I concur.
Understanding that the quality of the relationship is up to him or her and will not blame the other for misunderstandings. I think that's good. I like it.
I like it too.
Yep.
Don't really have anything to add.
Well, I always remember, I think it was Glenn Beck was on I just happened to be listening to him on the radio one day years ago, and he had mentioned that his relationship with his mother, I believe it to be, it was changes from day to day, maybe week to week, month to month. She may be his hero one day or month. For the next month, he may be resenting her tremendously and not getting along, and that she's been dead for many years.
Wow.
And so it makes you realize how much of the relationship I'm responsible for. Mm-hmm. She hasn't even been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, and we have all these different,
right.
Oh, well, he's an ass or, you know, right. It's like, so you got to realize that you're just as much responsible for that relationship working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Partners keep the lines. This is the next one. Partners keep the lines of communication open and are willing to discuss issues that are important to the other.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a given, right? Basic communication. Right. Be available. Be emotionally available, mm-hmm. which is a lot of things that have to become before you can be emotionally available if you're not.
Yes.
Like, what's the book that you said?
Emotional unavailability.
Emotional unavailability?
Yeah. I can't remember the author right now.
Yeah.
They sell it on Amazon. Awesome book.
Yeah.
Talks about different personality types and being attracted and, you know, where you're going with that relationship. If you choose someone like that.
Yeah.
But it
how do you know if someone's emotionally available when you first meet them?
That's a loaded question. You don't know when you first meet somebody if they're emotionally available.
Which I'm going to have one of these episodes. I'm going to have, it's going to be, you're going to like, this are the five, and I think you should write a little book about this too.
Mm.
This is the five, like, this, the litmus test for women. Like, if you get
bullet
the
points.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I know for me, it's
in 5 days.
First thing is visual. Obviously, as you're walking up to
him. How
to
know if he's marriage material in 5 dates? Or does it take that long?
If you're making that decision in 5 dates, I mean, you can make that decision, but you need to give it longer than that.
We did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you did.
I did. Yeah. Okay. You didn't?
No. When you mentioned marriage in the kitchen,
yeah,
scared me to death. I'm like, whoa.
And how long we've been dating?
A couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really early.
And when I know that family members or friends or that kind of do the same thing that happened to us, I'm always wary.
Yeah.
But then I also like, well, it happened for us.
Right.
I mean, we knew within the first, mm-hmm. I'd say not day, but that sounds really naive, but we spent literally 24
yeah.
hours a day
yeah.
those, that first week mm-hmm. just talking.
I don't think we slept that
I
week.
Didn't. I slept probably 4 hours that entire week.
Yeah.
I was so tired at work.
Yeah.
But we just couldn't get enough of talking about yeah. stuff.
It was pretty great.
Yeah.
It was very romantic.
Still is.
Mm-hmm. It is. We have there's not a day that goes by that I don't hear from you at least once or twice during the day. It's nice.
Yeah. Checking in.
Yeah. And if I don't hear from you, I know that you're busy. Because I know that you would be communicating if you weren't. So.
Yeah. Or you at least see me like upset. Take my turn on Words with Friends or something.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in a meeting that's not too engaging. He's playing Words with Friends or something.
Yeah.
All right. Partners keep the lines of communication. Okay, we talked about that. This is the next one. Partners seek harmony in the relationship and feel happy when good things happen to the other.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like that too. Yeah.
Not jealousy or, for instance, I have been in relationships where there were things that I did. Maybe I used to write a lot of music and
mm-hmm.
not, well, I used to write music and then play my guitar and I was my time and,
mm-hmm.
and I just, there was a, I've been in a relationship where I always was made, I don't know if I was made to feel or it was my issue, but I always felt guilty when I would do stuff like that for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Doesn't seem to bother you as much these days, but it did in the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, go and do what makes you happy. Because I got things I want to do too. Yeah. And
I'd have this.
It is nice.
Check in every once in a while. Although I still do that. Like yeah. if you say, no, go ahead and watch this show. I'm going to go to bed and read. Mm-hmm. I always have this anxiety. I don't want you to fall asleep before I get a chance to get up there. So I'll come up. Are you still up reading? Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to go down and watch some more of the show. And,
yeah.
You know, because I need that. Hey, our day's over. I'm glad I'm here. Kiss you goodnight. Like, that's it, you know.
Well, you can wake me up to kiss me goodnight.
Yeah. Because I've been in relationships where we've went to bed mad.
Yeah.
And we've went to and not communicating. It's just a horrible feeling.
It is. You know, I wouldn't be able to sleep if that were the case.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is partners don't expect the other to solve their problem. A good partner stands on his or her own feet.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know a lot of people that try to fix others. Mm-hmm. They end up relationships, as the saver.
Savior?
No.
Saver?
Not savior. I don't think. Isn't that kind of a...
Religious term?
Religious term?
Well, I think savior can be...
Or a caregiver.
Yeah.
Because we all know... Well, yeah, that's... Isn't there... There's an emotion... Well, there's an
problem
emotional...
solving is a... It's a controlling technique, too. Right?
Problem solving?
Well, yeah, for other people. If I come to you with a problem and you're going to solve it, you're going to control my problem?
Oh.
You know...
Yeah.
You can advise, but it's going to be up to me to solve the problem, if it's solvable, right?
Well, yeah.
Unless I have fallen into a hole and you need to pull me out of it.
Well, I don't know if you can...
Then you can save me.
Yeah.
Please.
I can fill it up.
Especially if there's snakes in there.
I can fill it up with water so you can... Yeah. So you can...
Float to the top.
Float to the top.
Yeah.
Not drown you.
Yeah.
What was it the... Oh gosh, I'm probably going to mess this up, but it says relationships are like playing cards. At first, all you need are two hearts and a diamond. And towards the end, you're wishing for a club and a spade. That's terrible.
I like that.
It is funny.
It's cute.
All right. Partners don't expect the other ones to solve their problems. Okay. I mean, that's just independence, right? Staying in the partners, each one's available to stand on their own feet.
Yeah.
And that's something that we definitely had when we met.
Mm-hmm.
We both didn't need the other one to save us. We
right.
didn't need the other one to solve our problems, or we could stand on our own feet.
Right.
Our own feet. And you had proven that to yourself through mm-hmm. making it on your
As
own.
As you.
And, yeah.
I think it's a very important part of life to go out on your own and do it on your own before you get something that took me a lot of years to figure out.
Yeah. You're the wind beneath my wings. I don't know why I think. Bette Midler sang that.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't even know that.
I can like
it
so
was on
hear
the radio
the right
yesterday
now.
When we were going to Freddy's to get
it.
That was
a great song. I love her.
What about, okay, let's talk about expectations when you're ordering stuff at restaurants. Because we went to this new place called Freddy's. They have like steak burgers and, you know.
Freddy's.
Concrete.
Gross.
You didn't like it.
I mean, no.
It's kind of like Steak and Shake or that's similar.
It's not even close.
Well, so she ordered the peanut butter fudge crunch concrete.
And they have a picture of it, like, on the wall. It's like a life-size picture. Now, let me say we've been there twice. We were there a couple of weeks ago.
She's been dying.
I saw this concrete, and I'm like, oh, I really want it, but I'm too full. So,
like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they just opened up one out by our place, and we finally get there. Well, first we went there, and it was so packed. It's like, okay, I'm not waiting. Because I wanted to eat something, and you just wanted this dang concrete.
Yeah.
The picture was just, you were dying to have. So we went to Target and did some shopping, and then we came back, and it's like, okay, so then we went in, and it was still too packed. We're like, okay, let's just go through the drive-thru. And all this, it had been leading up to this expectation. And then, of course, there at the drive-thru is this huge picture of this peanut
butter fudge crunch
concrete. And it looked white with fudge,
layers
of fudge poured around it and some crunch on it. And we just
peanut butter.
Kind of reminded me of the peanut butter parfait kind of thing.
Yes.
Right. So then we we order like $17 for, I got a patty melt and something. And so we order and we get up and the first thing they hand out is this little cup of this
with a chocolate
shake. It looks like a chocolate shake with whipped cream on the top and
waffle cone crunched up and thrown in there
on the top
and mixed in.
And she just has this look on her face like, I'm not eating. That's
well, it wasn't. It,
you were just
remotely,
so disappointed.
Yeah, I was.
Because it's just like, that is not anything like the picture. And I'm thinking, because I'm like, I'm so like,
I know.
What do they call? I'm so conflict avoidance.
Right.
So I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Do I tell this lady? Because you're obviously upset. And
I was being a baby.
But it was cute. But it was like,
I was
now
just
we
being
laugh
a baby.
About it. But it was like,
yeah, but
just
it,
for like 2 weeks.
Don't order the peanut butter fudge crunch concrete.
I ended
if
up eating
want
it.
The
and
picture.
I, and I thought it was great. It was basically like a chocolate.
It was a chocolate.
Like a chocolate concrete malt with a
peanut
but
butter.
It tasted like peanut butter. Yeah. And it had some crunchy.
Yeah. But it wasn't. It just wasn't in my mind.
But I'm like, well, how many times have you ever ordered anything and it does look like what's on the picture? That hardly ever.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, anyway, so expectations.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then, true.
The next one. But it was just like, oh, my God, so sad. Like, and I said, when we get home, or we were driving home, I said, don't worry, we'll take you to the circus next week.
Like, did you say that?
Yeah. I was like, you know, like a little girl, like,
such a baby
pouting all the way home.
I wasn't happy, but
yeah, we laughed
I was like, why am I being this way? I think I'm having a menopausal moment. It's like, I do have moments where I just like, so irrational. Like when I came in and saw the bed and I thought, oh, this is just unacceptable. And I'm like, I think I'm watching too many of the Housewives shows.
And when you were saying that, the guy had the clipboard in his hand.
I know.
And he kept trying to get me to sign it. He's like, can you sign here? Because they were done installing
it. And
he
was afraid I was going to take it back.
Can you sign here? And you're like, and he goes, oh, well, we can flip these around. So we flip around. He goes, okay, here, if I can just get your signature here. He was like, I got to get out of here.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were like, I think we were the first delivery and setup.
Lady, I just installed the things.
8 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I was so wanting
to talk about expectations.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Oh, well.
Partners have healthy relationships with others. That's the next one.
Yeah.
I think we do.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, that would be one of the, if I have to pick five things when you meet a guy, how they behave around other people. Put them in lots of situations, stressful situations, shopping situations, restaurants.
See how they treat.
Travel. Oh, travel, that's a good way to find out.
But you don't
want to
travel someone like if you go.
Well, not in the first week, probably. Yeah. At least wait till the second week.
We went to St. Croix together.
Yeah.
Was our first trip. I don't know how long we'd been dating.
About 9 months.
But it was like you learn a lot about.
10 months.
But also how someone treats their friends, what their friends are like, how their friends treat them.
If they have any friends.
Exactly.
You know
how they treat waitresses.
Yeah. How they treat their family.
Yeah.
Particularly their mother. For a man or for a woman, judging a man or, you know, sizing a guy up, how he treats his mother. This is pretty telling. I mean, that's kind of obvious. Everybody knows that one, but.
Yeah, here's the next one. Partners have a stable residence, telephone number, job, and are working on goals.
And as far as my dad's concerned, if they have their own car.
Yeah.
Because when we went down to, I introduced you to my parents.
Yeah.
We drove my vehicle and my dad takes me to the side and he goes, does he have a car?
Really?
And I'm like,
I never
what
knew
are
that.
You? I'm in my 40s and my dad's, does he have a car?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
That's funny.
It's like, can they support themselves?
Yeah. He had no idea what I was going to drag in this time.
Now, granted, they might, be going through something and down on their luck, but.
Oh my gosh. It was just, I've never asked for my dad's approval of.
Does he have a car?
A boyfriend or a spouse or, I didn't grow up with him, really.
Yeah.
I mean, my mother raised us. So, and then she died when I was very young. So I really haven't asked anyone's permission in my life for a long, 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 long time. So I kind of saw it as, an opportunity to do things the right way. It was a great experience taking you down there and you had your guitar and pretty soon they're tapping their feet while you're playing the guitar.
I was the guy that always took my guitar everywhere.
Yeah, but they loved it.
Yeah, I don't do that much anymore, but.
It was back when my stepmother really knew what was going on and they were both still in really good shape and it was a great memory for me,
Yeah.
And my dad's trying to do I'm trying to do the right thing. My dad's trying to do what he thinks I want him to be, and ask you, questions about yourself. And he grilled you a little bit, but you got a little nervous.
He did. I did get a little nervous.
Then he started talking about psychopaths and how you know if someone's a sociopath. That's right.
Because they say all the right things, and I seem to be saying all the right things. So then later I was like, I think maybe I need to have a therapy session
with
your stepmom, who is a therapist, or a psychologist.
Yeah, I might be a psychopath.
Well, yeah, I do say all the right things, but I do mean them. I don't think I'm like trying to.
So I went to my dad. I don't think you were. I think you must have been in another room, and I said, I told him that you were worried you might be a sociopath. My dad started laughing. So when we're leaving, he made it clear that he didn't think you were a sociopath. Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have a job working on goals.
Right. Yeah.
Partners don't engage in provocative behavior or engage in cyber relationships.
Yeah, if you know about that. I mean, how...
I mean, Facebook is big. And we've had people contact us about, my boyfriend, has this friend on Facebook, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, you got to trust them, and if you can't, then you need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Partners don't. Oh, wait. Next one.
Emotional relationships. Let's just be clear. If you have an emotional relationship with someone of the opposite sex, that's awfully dangerous. You know, it could be, you go into it just kind of venting your stuff.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, when you offer personal information about yourself, you're allowing an intimacy to develop with another person. So be very careful. You know, and we generally do this when we're having troubles in our relationship. We go outside the relationship or, tell on our stuff. And then pretty soon you create a conflict that may or may not be able to be resolved.
Well, and I think we could probably do an entire episode just on that. Because we do get a lot of people saying, hey, and we've talked about infidelity before, but I don't know if we've talked completely about jealousy. I think we did, and I don't have the list of episodes in front of me, which is bad as a producer or a creator of the podcast. But anyway, we could do an entire episode on that. But anyway, let's see. Partners don't engage cyber relationship. Oh, here's the next one. Partners don't engage in excessive secrecy, frequently break plans, or refuse to be accountable for their whereabouts.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes back to trust and...
Well, absolutely. If you ask someone a question and they don't want to answer it, duh.
Yeah. And that could be difficult.
Trust is gone.
I've been in relationships where there was secrecy and
transparency
on my part. And, just for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And when I met you, I'm like, you know what? I'm trying something completely different. I love who I am. I've been through some crap. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
And I've dealt with it. I've forgiven myself. I've moved on. This is who I am. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you every single freaking thing.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that works out.
Yeah. It won my heart immediately. In fact, that is what made me fall in love with you.
And that was the first time you're like, I don't care. I love you anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I can be completely honest and you're still going to love me. Exactly.
Yeah. Because when you share your imperfections that you think about yourself, then my imperfections that I think about myself have company.
Right.
They feel comfortable. They're like, oh, thank God I don't have to be perfect because he's not perfect. And I know I'm not perfect.
Yeah, so, nobody is.
And thank God that you've, recognized that you had issues that you needed to deal with, took responsibility for them and dealt with them.
Yeah.
And talk about them and embrace them, if you will, and they don't define you. It's where you were.
Yeah.
It's what got you to here.
Yep. And then the last one is partners don't engage in illicit drug use or abuse alcohol.
Yeah. Agreed.
Agreed?
Yeah, agreed.
Which is why, I don't know if I've ever said all this on the air before, but I am a recovering alcoholic, so.
You say recovering or recovered?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Yeah. Some people say recovered. Some people say recovering.
Doesn't really matter.
Be 8 years in March.
Yeah.
So. And I know that, that stunted my emotional availability for years and years and years. And I even had years where I didn't drink or at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just abstained, but I didn't grow spiritually, emotionally or anything. So I had no, I still wasn't emotionally available.
Right.
Yeah. So,
you kind of used your studying as your alcohol, right? The books.
Which is a
better choice.
Yeah,
for
a long time there. Yeah. I just became an introvert and, I've helped a lot of people in recovery and through service work and stuff like that and sponsored guys and went to treatment centers and been involved in quite a bit of it. And I see in relationships all the time that, depending on whether you accept the fact that it's a disease or not. But, you know, you can't really be in a healthy relationship because there's somebody else, and it's the drug or the alcohol, yeah, you know, and it's just
too many people in that relationship.
Yeah. And a lot of times,
or not enough people in that relationship.
Yeah.
Depending on how you look at it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's sad. But then what do you do if you're with someone?
Yeah.
And you love them.
We know someone that's going through that.
And they are going through that. So, mm-hmm. you know, you ultimately have to, you need to decide, you know, I've always liked that show Intervention, mm-hmm. where the guy always said, there's nothing we won't do to help you get better,
mm-hmm.
but there's absolutely nothing we will continue to do that will allow this to go on anymore. So
right.
basically you're saying it's your problem
right.
now.
We're done,
mm-hmm. you know, enabling mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, just like the alcoholic or drug addict has to decide what their, you know, final point is, so does the codependent partner of said addict. You know, they have to decide when they've had enough and are willing to make a change.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. You know, what's
right.
your low? You know, and then when you decide on that low, you've got to follow through. And if you need the support of others to help do that or whatever, you've got to set yourself up to be successful on that.
Yeah. And I know for my instance, in my case, part of the, you know, I might not have ever gotten the help I needed if I hadn't mm-hmm. been told to, or if I hadn't lost the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Had the ultimatum.
I mean, I kind of self-destructed and kind of, I think I ultimately created my own destiny because I knew that relationship wasn't mm-hmm. right, blah, blah, blah. But whatever it was, you know, I thought it was the end of my world. How can I not live without this person? Blah, blah, blah. But I really, you know, and then I got well and mm-hmm. I worked on myself for years mm-hmm. and realized that, I don't really even like that person now, you know?
Right.
I didn't like who she was then.
Well, you didn't like you.
I didn't like who I was then either,
right.
but I realized, oh my God, that was not,
yeah.
Well,
you could justify the way you felt about it yourself because that's the way she treated you,
yeah.
the way you felt about yourself, right?
Yeah, kind of like what we talked about. Come on, you know, we allow someone to treat you just a little bit better than you treat yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that.
Yeah. So anyway.
I mean, I don't like that.
I don't know if
have
I ever even talked about that on here?
I don't think so.
Well,
it's yours to tell.
That's right.
How do you feel?
I feel good. I mean,
you look good.
I don't, huh?
You look good.
I don't hide it from anybody I know, so I don't know why I never really talked about it on here, but anyway.
All in the right time.
That's right. So, well, actually, this went a little bit long. We're at 42 minutes right now, so that's actually kind of long for us for a podcast, but...
I enjoyed it.
Although a lot of people
Thanks
do podcasts
sharing.
Like an hour, but
that's
I think I like 30 minutes.
Over my attention
span. We try to stick with 30 minutes because I know like I listen to a lot of podcasts and like I'm driving and
right.
30 minutes is like,
long.
Yeah, it's a kind of my commute. I don't want to, you know, it's a long commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so if you like what you heard today, we encourage you to go to iTunes. You can go to jaredacres.com/iTunes and leave us an honest review in iTunes. You can search iTunes for the How to Be Happy podcast. We'd really appreciate that. It would help us a lot. I don't know if it would help us, but it just makes us feel good.
Yeah.
And you can leave a question there too.
A little validation.
Yeah, a little validation. And I don't know. That's it. Thanks for listening. And remember to be honest,
be love,
and be happy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.